Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're talking about sowing and reaping. I didn't hear any excitement at all.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. If you have Jesus' words in red, you say there's an awful lot of red here. If Jesus said it, is it true? If Jesus said it and it's true, should we be living this way?
Yes.
Everybody turn to the person next to you and say, the truth will change your life. Amen?
Yes.
Verse 3, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they didn't have much earth. But immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root and they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground. Everybody say good ground.
Good ground.
And yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Goes on down to verse 18, and he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. He's going to explain it now. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, so the seed is what?
The word
of God.
Yes.
Amen? Who's sowing the seed?
We are.
I am.
Jesus said, if you don't get this one right, how are you going to understand any of them? Right? Who sows the seed in us? God does.
Yes.
Right? We're the ground.
That's right.
So look at the person next to you and say, you're looking kind of dirty this morning. Verse 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed in stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. As we're looking at this and knowing that we are the dirt, that the word of God is the seed, I want to ask you, what are you doing with the word that you've heard? See, Jesus said that some of this seed falls on the wayside. It falls on the hard-packed path. Some of us, because of the things that we've experienced in life, have been hardened to the place that we cannot receive the word that's been spoken to us. And that can be any number of things. There are people who all their life, finances have been a struggle. They have done everything that they know to do and they just never seem to get ahead. There's never enough money for the month. And that experience has caused them to believe that that's just the way it's going to be. You know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, that's a quote from a fellow by the name of Job. Job went through some hard stuff. Job had some trials. Job's experience made him say some things that, though they were reported accurately in the book, they're not the truth.
That's right. That's so true.
Everybody look at the person next to you and say, everything in the Bible,
everything in the Bible
is accurately true.
Not everything in the Bible
is God's truth. There are a lot of things. When you see what, when Satan says something, is it the truth?
No.
But it's accurately reported.
Yes.
Okay? It's important for us to understand that because there are a lot of times that you hear people say things that are not the truth. And they say it in a way that makes it sound like, well, that must be God. How many of you know that our God is a sovereign God?
Amen? Yes.
Amen? How many of you know that God can't do everything?
Right. That's right.
Wait a minute, that sounds like a contradiction. But it's not.
Right.
To be a sovereign God means He is the ruler over His realm. It means that He is the king and the authority in the realm that He has authority over. But, and this is the part that we miss sometimes, He only has authority for those who will yield to His authority. You can drive down the road here, and when you come to a stop sign, what causes you to stop? You choose submission. You choose to recognize the authority that put that sign at the end of the road and said, stop. If you don't stop, most of the time there's nobody there to enforce it, and you can just go on by, and though you're a lawbreaker, nobody does anything about it. Because submission to the law is what gives the law power. Where there is no submission to the word, there is no authority of the word. And the end result of that is the word does not work. When we submit ourselves, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when you read that word here and you read it in the original, it means to hear with the intent to obey.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Or ouch. There are a lot of times we've heard the word and heard the word and heard the word, and we smile and say, yeah, that's nice. Doesn't work, but it's nice. But it does work. The Word always works. The Word is the final authority for those who will submit themselves to it. The hard pack, the experiences of life will sometimes cause us to say, that doesn't work. How many of you know that sometimes life is rough? Amen? And that rough experience causes us to question everything. Met a young lady, she was 16 years old, and she had been sexually abused by her grandfather for as far back as she could remember. My heart just broke for her to start with, that she lived in a home where there was no security, there was no safety, there was no protection. That her parents, who were tasked with the responsibility of taking care of her, turned and looked the other way as her grandfather violated her over and over again. At the age of 13, she became pregnant with her grandfather's child. How do you survive that? How do you get past that and go on to have a life that's worth living? And then she experienced a miscarriage. And she actually felt guilty because she didn't carry that baby to full term and give birth. Because she felt that it was her resentment, her bitterness and her anger that caused her to miscarry. Think about the twisted nature of that thinking. At the age of 16, her grandfather passed away. And then she felt guilty because she was glad. Because she knew that now her torture was over. That kind of hard pack makes it rough to receive the word that says that our God is a loving Heavenly Father. And I can remember sitting over here at Camp Living Waters with her and just spending time crying with her, spending time praying with her, and watching that in just that week that we had her at camp, her life was transformed. And she met Jesus for the first time. And saw that our God is a loving Heavenly Father who steps in and gets between us and our problems, who steps in and gets between us and our sin, who steps in and makes a difference in our lives. And then it came time for her to go home. And she had to go home to the same environment that she came out of. She had to face her parents knowing that the bitterness and resentment that she had because of the fact that they hadn't taken care of her was going to still be something that was going to be a challenge for her. Because she had to go home and walk in forgiveness. And how do you forgive somebody who has been so negligent in their responsibility? You only do it through Jesus, I can tell you right now. The Bible says that the seed comes, and those who receive it will bear fruit. And we'll go on and talk about the fruit that they bear later on. But the fact of the matter is, not everybody bears fruit. How many of you know there are people who sit with us week in and week out who show absolutely no signs of change? They are the same as they were 20 years ago, and nothing has changed. Nothing about their language has changed. Nothing about their lifestyle has changed. They're the same person that they've always been, and sometimes they've even gotten worse. And we look at their lives and we wonder, you know, why isn't it working for them? Well, it's real simple. They're not receiving the word. They're not hearing with the intent of obeying. They're in, and it's a shame to say, but there are people, even in our church, who are paying their dues. They come in, they put in their time, they drop their check in the plate so that they can feel better about themselves. They're not here to be able to grow in God. Christ Victory Church is a worshiping church, and we're good at it. We know that we're good at it because God will constantly reinforce that to us. We are here to make disciples, amen?
Amen.
We're duplicating. We're replicating. We are reproducing the image of Christ.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
And we're here to change the course of history by being doers of the Word. You can't do what's not real to you. You've got to receive it and let it get in and take root on the inside of you. So for those who have got hard life experiences, this is a challenge. Everybody look at the person next to you and say,
the only difference
between good ground and hard pack
is hard work.
That's right.
I'm amazed. How many of you have a maple tree near your house? How many of you know that if left alone, maple would take over the world? I mean, you don't even have to work at planting them. They'll plant themselves. We were at the house, and I started walking around. So we had one huge maple tree in our front yard, and I'm looking at the things that are going on. And my wife said, you know, you really need to clean out the gutters. And I said, why? She said, because there's trees growing in it. Sure enough, I went out and looked, and here's trees growing out of the gutters. The maple leaves, the maple seeds had been shed, and they fell down to the leaves that were in the gutters, and it was enough to cause it to take root. And I had maple trees, some of them this big, in the gutter. I keep you in business, man. What do you want? And as I climbed up there and started cleaning the gutters out, I realized these seeds do the word. These seeds reproduce after their kind, just like the Father said way back in Genesis. What an absolute indictment against us if we don't do the same thing.
Good preaching.
After I got done cleaning out the gutters, I started walking around just to see where all these maple trees were coming up. And they were in the window wells of the basement. They were in the sidewalk. They were in the crack between the road and the curb. There were trees growing everywhere. And I know that if you don't actively work against them growing, they will take over. That ought to cause us to shout. Because that's the Word working. The Word will always work. The Word will produce. You know, when nature demonstrates for us the way that it's supposed to work, we should step up and work it.
That's so good.
We've got to be good ground, but we can't be good ground if we let our experience keep us from entering into what God has for us. My dad passed away, and when he did, I got to sit down and start writing my tribute to him. And I knew my dad when my dad was an unbeliever. Matter of fact, my dad was a very well-schooled and well-practiced heathen. He learned how to be a heathen from his family, and they probably have been practicing for generations because my great-grandfather was a bootlegger. Christians are not bootleggers, just so you know, in case anybody had any question about it. He didn't come to Christ until he was 84 years old, so he was a pretty practiced heathen. And so my dad came by being a heathen honestly, and most of us do. But then in 1966, I went to Vacation Bible School. Praise God for Vacation Bible School. Hallelujah. And I got saved. The next day, I told my brother, I'm not going to heaven alone. You're coming with me. And I dragged him down the aisle to the front of the church. And he's still serving God today, so it must have worked.
Praise God.
And that began a progression in our family that resulted in my mom getting saved, and then other brothers and sisters getting saved, and then finally, after 2 years of just vehement resistance, my dad was sitting and he was watching the Democratic Convention, 1968. I don't know how many of you remember that, but he was watching the convention, and he was sitting there. My dad, I remember him saying more than once, if you believe there's no atheists in foxholes, you've never been in one. He said, I am testimony to the fact that there are atheists in foxholes. So he counted himself an atheist, and so he's sitting there and he's watched the change over the last 2 years that's happened in my mother's life. And he's not really sure what to do with that, because if it's true that Jesus is alive, and if it's true that Jesus is Lord, and if it's true that He can transform her life, then he was faced with a dilemma. Because it meant that he might have to change. And he'd had some life experience that caused him to say, I don't want anything to do with these Christians. I don't want anything to do with these people who just put on every Sunday and then go out and live like the devil all week long. We got to be the real deal.
That's right.
And sitting there, he's watching the Democratic Convention. He said, okay, if you're real, show me who's going to win this election. And my dad said that immediately, instantaneously, he had an open vision. And he said that open vision was a vision of the election night speech of the victor. And he saw the victor standing and giving that speech. Well, September to November is a while. And the election rolled around, and he came in and he's sitting down and he's watching, and he said as it came onto the television, it was exactly what he had seen. The setting was exactly what he had seen. The clothing was exactly what he had seen. The music was exactly what he'd heard. And the victor stepped up to the mic and announced that he was the new president, and he was thankful to the voters who had made that happen. And my dad went, well, if you're real, then I guess I have to give you my life.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
How many of you know that when you get saved, that's not the end of the story?
Amen. Right. Just the beginning.
Because the seed comes, but if the seed isn't received, it doesn't produce. If the seed finds a home in the ground, but it's not nurtured and fed properly, it'll die. The ground has to be good ground to get maximum impact. And so here's my dad, and he's made the decision. He's going to receive Jesus. When he told us that he'd done that, I thought, we'll see. You see, I remember my dad. My dad's shop was plastered with pornography. I remember that my dad used some pretty graphic language. I remember that my dad had no problem sharing his beer with his kids. I remember that my dad was a heathen. And so I was excited on one hand and I was skeptical on the other. Anybody like that? Yeah. We got to produce fruit if we're going to be the real deal. And I watched my dad's life transformed so that not only was he a believer, but he was a powerful believer. He was a Spirit-filled believer. He was a believer who preached the Word every chance that he got. And if the Spirit of God told him to do something, he went and did it. And when he went and did it, he got the results that he was promised. It was such a powerful thing for him that it drove him to be a missionary in Uganda.
Yeah.
That's a transformed life. He said that he took his mother to Israel, and he said, walking the streets of Jerusalem, he said, just trying to imagine walking in the steps of Jesus caused his heart to break at the thought that the things that Jesus experienced on those streets, he experienced because of his sin. That's a transformed life. And I thank God because I know that that transformed life has impacted thousands of other people. I called one of his past employers this week and I said, I'd let him know that my dad had passed away. And I won't say what he said because he's not a believer yet.
Good faith talk.
I know the seed my dad has sown into his life.
Amen.
He gave testimony. He said, that man loved God. That man has been in my face so many times. And I said, Bob, you really need to think about that if you want to spend eternity with him. Amen?
Yes.
We're here not just to hear a sermon and be inspired. I've said before, and I'll say it again, and this is not an insult to the Rotary Club. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to pay your dues and get an inspiring speech, go to the Rotary Club. If you want your life transformed, then sit under the Word in church and let's see what happens.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Anybody can inspire you.
Right.
We want to transform you.
Amen.
In Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem and to us, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts. You men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of your evil doings." Whose responsibility is it to be good ground? It's my responsibility for me to be good ground. No matter how much I want to, I can't make you good ground. Stir up your fallow ground means get out there, plow it up, stir it up, make it good. Oh, but you don't know what I've been through. I don't care. Let me just go on record. I really don't give a rip what you've been through. It's not about where you've been. It's about where we're going.
Amen.
Amen. Amen?
Yes.
So we need to take stock of who we are, where we are, and whether or not we're serious about the things of God.
Yes.
It's one thing to be in church. It's a whole different thing to have the Word in you.
Yes. That's right.
Yes. We want to be what God's called us to be. How many of you started out in something else than a Bible preaching church?
Yep.
How many of you, the first time you were in a church that was serious about the things of God, thought, these people are nuts?
Yep. Now I'm nuts.
And it's fun, isn't it? I can remember going to church every Sunday was a chore. And we did it because you didn't dare not. Because, I mean, you got to get your points level up if you're going to get out of purgatory.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yes.
Come on. I didn't come from a rich family. They weren't going to buy me out. So that means I had to have points when I got there that I wasn't going to be there so long. And I can remember, I remember sitting in and you'd count the bells. Because you knew what the progression was of the service and you knew when that last bell rang, it wasn't long and we were out of here. And that service was only an hour long if it went long. And I can remember. I can remember the first time I went to a church where they preached salvation, and they had this preacher, and he was a hellfire and damnation preacher, and he was back and forth across the stage, and he was shouting, and he was jumping off and running back up, and I thought, these folks have lost their minds. I remember the first time I was in a service that went longer than an hour, and I thought, these people, I mean, they're just masochistic. They're torturing themselves. And there were people who seemed to enjoy it. I remember the first time I went to a Pentecostal church and a message in tongues came forth and the lady that brought it was Puerto Rican and she was standing directly behind me. You never saw anybody get underneath a pew so fast in your life. All that time, I was not good ground. Because I didn't understand that if I didn't make it mine, if I didn't personalize this teaching, if I didn't stir up the ground to receive, it wasn't going to do anything. I heard the message of salvation for years before I actually got saved. Because, believe it or not, they actually preached the message of salvation in the Catholic Church. I remember going through catechism. Everything I believe today, I learned in catechism. That'd make a good book. But knowing it and possessing it are two different things. There are a lot of people who believe they're going to heaven today because they've been through the process. They've experienced church. They've been vaccinated against the real thing. I'm going to heaven today because I know Jesus. And that's the only reason. Jesus and I have a relationship. And that relationship is real. It's genuine. It's tangible. But that didn't just happen. I remember that when I went to that vacation Bible school and they shared the gospel with me and they told me what I needed to believe, and I was like, okay, I already believe all that. And they said, well, you had to make it personal. You had to pray and ask Jesus to forgive your sins. You had to actually apply it to your life. My response was really simple. Okay. I'm no dummy. I mean... So I remember going back with the counselor and praying and filling out my little white card. And I went home, told my mom what I did, and she went, that's nice. Grabbed my brother by the hand. He came and filled out his little white card. Went home, told mom, and she went, that's nice. And after 2 weeks of vacation Bible school, well, then we wanted to go to Sunday school. Because we were good Baptist indoctrinated kids then. We knew, you got to be in church. Got to be in Sunday school. And besides, vacation Bible school was fun.
It is.
Yeah, we had fun. They even gave us candy. So she started taking us to church and dropping us off. And she would go over to the Catholic Church to Mass and then come back and pick us up. Well, that didn't last very long because she got really curious. And so then she snuck in to Sunday school. And she got saved.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And that really turned everything on its head because then my dad got ticked. His wife had no purpose in getting saved because God wasn't real. Because this couldn't... And again, the next 2 years, he watched. And as the fruit came forth, that's what changed his perspective. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to have real Christians make a real difference.
Yes.
You know, when we walk into the Walmart Revival Center,
Amen. People
should see us coming and go, here they come again.
That's right.
They're going to disrupt everything. I love sitting on the bench outside the pharmacy. You don't have to go looking for people. They'll come to you.
Yeah, that's true.
Amen? And as you pray for them, it makes a difference.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? Well, I don't feel like I can do that. Well, you know what? Tough. Go do it. Go do it. You have to step out of your comfort zone sometimes. You have to stir up fallow ground in order for it to produce. Well, I've never done that before. Well, that's why they call it a first time. Amen?
Amen?
We're here to make a difference. We're here to be what God called us to be. Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, till He comes and rains righteousness on you. You've plowed wickedness. You've reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way. Amen?
Amen?
Or ouch. See, it's easy to get caught up in the way that the world does things. But I can tell you right now, getting caught up in the way the world does things will leave you hard-packed. will leave you almost impenetrable if you let it. You can experience things in life that will definitely take you down. But if you let it take you down and trample you into the ground, all you're going to be is broken and miserable without hope. How many of you have been watching any of the news? See Robin Williams, a terrible story of what happened there. That's so sad. So sad to see someone who has so much going for him, that hopeless that he would take his own life. My question is, did anybody get the gospel to him? Did anybody share the good news of Jesus with him? Because the reason he has no hope is because he doesn't know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus, there is hope available to you. It doesn't mean you don't have trials. It doesn't mean you don't have tribulations. It doesn't mean that things don't come against you. How many of you know that in your garden weeds come? How many of you planted weeds this year? No? How many of you have seen a harvest of weeds that you thought was overabundant? Difference between good ground and bad ground. Good ground, everything produces. Bad ground, nothing produces. Drive down past the hospital and you see that barren hillside where stuff's not growing. It's not growing for a reason. That stuff will not support life. Amen? I don't want to be that stuff. I want to be that fruitful field. I want to be like the field down here where you come driving by and you see that corn that was planted late and it's already 6 feet tall. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! That's good ground. Amen?
Amen?
But it didn't just happen. It wasn't an accident. It happened on purpose.
That's right.
Question is, what are you doing with the word that you've heard? Have you allowed the word to find a home in your heart? The word challenges you and me to break up our fallow ground, our untended, unplanted, hard packed ground. Being a farmer as a young man, I can remember one of my favorite things to do was go out and plow. And I remember jumping on that tractor, and my dad didn't have to ask me twice, man. I was on the tractor and going as soon as I had permission. I broke more tractors because I just didn't have sense enough to not give it all. And I can remember going down through that field, and that dirt would roll, and the smell would come up out, and I would just think, man, I love this. And I do. I still, to this day, I love being part of that process of planting. But you plowed it, and were you done? No, then you had to do what?
Break it up.
You had to harrow it. You had to then, and this is the part that we all remember, go pick the rocks out of it. And we talked about the fact that rocks reproduce. You heard about the brothers that were in competition with each other? So one brother sent his other brother a pet rock, and it was a boulder painted up. You remember pet rocks when they were... And a couple weeks later, his brother sent him a truckload of river rock, said, "Your rock was pregnant." Things happen because of a force behind them. The force behind the believer is the Word of God. The Word of God will produce results. We have the statement in Isaiah that says, "My Word will not return void." And yet there are a lot of people who seem like they get nothing out of the Word. They get no results. But the fact of the matter is, it's got to be mixed with faith. There are a lot of us who have, by our experience, said, "Well, it doesn't quite work the way that they preach it." But the fact of the matter is, it does when we learn how to work it. We're supposed to become skilled technicians.
Yes.
Study. Study. Sounds like work. Mm-hmm. The difference between good ground and bad ground. Hard work. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. Study, 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 study. Study doesn't mean read over and over again. Study doesn't mean read 5 Psalms and a proverb every day. Study doesn't mean pick your little card out of the promise box. Study means dig in and chew on it until you got everything that's in it out. Dig in and be a diligent student of the Word so that you can become a skilled technician of the Word. We're here to learn how to use the Word to accomplish what God intended from the beginning. How many of you know that God's Word is truth? God's Word is truth. When it says, the Lord says unto you, that means pay close attention. It's the truth. It will produce a result in your life. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God heap into your bosom.
No?
Shall men heap unto your bosom. My mom is a great giver, and we had our celebration yesterday, and she said she was just really tired of people saying, is there anything I can do to help? And she heard that somebody had a little thing that they did, that they had a jar set up, and every time somebody said, can you help, you had to put a nickel in the jar. So she said, can we do that? And I said, sure, we can do that. She said, good. $185 later, we had a good day. And I told her how much money was in the jar, and she said, oh my, I meant it as a joke. And I said, well, we didn't take it as a joke. My mom is a generous giver. Do you know what she has every intention of doing with that money? Give it. She's just going to give it. That's my mom. It's just the way she is. One of the things that she's talking about all the changes that'll happen now that my dad's gone, and one of the things she said was, now I'll be free to give anything I want. My dad and I have numerous times had, can't call them arguments, you have to call them heated debates or passionate discussions, because we love each other, so. Differing opinions by far. The topic of tithing would come up, and my dad would go ballistic. Tithing is not for today. It's Old Testament. And he wouldn't allow my mom to tithe. My mom tithed covertly. And in secret, she would give, not trying to be disobedient to my father, but trying to be obedient to the Word. And in her giving, God would bless. God would bless over and over again. Over and over and over again. And my dad would go, where did all this money come from? And she couldn't tell him. And so when she's talking about this, that's what she's talking about. Phil Ricuzzo called the other day. I was at the hospital, and Phil said, Pat, your dad's going to be in the presence of Jesus in a minute. And said, would you lean over and whisper in his ear and tell him, you're going to find out in a minute the truth about tithing. Phil wants you to know you're going to find out he was right. Study to show yourself approved unto God. This whole thing is life and death, guys.
It is.
This is life and death. Those who receive the Word will produce life, and they will experience life to the full. Those who do not receive the Word will not experience life. They will experience continued and ongoing death. Which one do you want? Because it comes down to, what are you doing with the Word that you've heard? What are you doing with the Word that you've heard? Are you good ground? If not, are you willing to do the work that it takes to get to be good ground? It is work. There's no two ways about it. It is work. But it's like that job that you had that you always wanted. You're doing what you always wanted to do, and you found somebody who would pay you to do it. The ideal job. You know, you walk in every day thinking, man, I ought to be paying to do this. And at the end of the week, collect your check. That's a great job.
Amen.
Not too many people have that job. But you know what? In the kingdom of God, we can have that experience. That we work and work and work because we love it. I sat down the other day and I started a Bible study on a topic that most people would look at and go, why would you bother? Because I want to. And as I've dug into the Word, I've realized that, great, here we go. This is going to turn into a book. Oh, well. You know what? If nobody else ever reads it, I don't care. I'm having fun studying. I'm learning things that I thought I knew. And it is getting into me because I'm going to be good ground. I'm going to do what it takes to stir up a place where the Word finds a home in me. Because I want the Word to produce results. Amen?
Amen.
James chapter 4 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Got to get that last part on there. Because if you don't get that last part, this is really a miserable life. I'm going to humble myself before the Lord, not so that I'm miserable, but so that He can lift me up. I'm going to submit myself so that He can bring about His will in my life. How many of you know God has good things in store?
Yes.
We've got a good God.
Amen.
He has good things in mind. He gives good gifts to His children, and I'm one of them.
Amen.
Yes. Amen?
Yes.
But you notice there's a process here that it describes, and He's not writing it to unbelievers. Amen?
That's right.
Who's he writing it to?
Believers.
No. Who's he writing it to?
Me.
Michael A. Foof. He's writing to you. Coach, he's writing to you. Evelyn. It's writing to you. Yeah? And if we will do what he says, will we get the results that he promises?
Yes.
The Lord will lift you up. Now, I want you to understand what that says. I want you to understand it in the full. The Lord will exalt you. Okay? That's what it says. It's the same word that it uses when it talks about us exalting him.
That's exciting.
Wow. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Amen? When we worship, we don't worship with the thought that God in turn is turning right around and worshiping us. That just will work on your head a little bit if you think about it. But the reality is, that's what the word means. He exalts us. He lifts us up. He causes us to be magnified. But the difference is, when He does that, things change. But it's the result of what we've sown already. We sow worship and we reap it. We sow praise and we reap it. How many of you know that God will encourage you? He will speak to you and tell you when you're doing a good job. He will speak to you and tell you about the good things He has in store for you. Will He not?
Yes, He does.
And because He does, we are increased. If you knew half of what God wanted to do for you, it would change the way that you live. Submit yourselves. Everybody say to the person next to you, it's time for you to be good ground. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll close with this. Peter's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so it's God talking to you. Amen? The Word is given by the inspiration of the Spirit for our benefit, for our increase, for our blessing.
Yes.
And because He's speaking to me, I can say when I read this, hey, that's me. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's shouting ground.
Oh, it is.
I mean, come
Glory
on.
To God. Hallelujah.
Come on. You get to take part,
yes.
Be part, be engulfed in the Woo. Divine nature.
Yes. Yes.
God is light. Mm. There is no darkness in Him at all. When there's darkness in our life, we need to get into Him.
Yes.
God is life.
He is.
Amen?
Amen.
In Him there's no death at all.
Right.
When sickness and disease come against us, when there's defect, when there's something that's deficient, we need to get into Him because in Him there is no death.
Amen.
No defect. No deficiency.
Woo. Amen.
About 3 o'clock this afternoon, some of you are going to go, man.
That's the
truth. Amen?
Yes.
We live so far below what He has for us because we don't do the drawn into Him part. We don't stir up our fallow ground. We sit and say, well, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. And He's saying, what are you doing with what I've already given you? Why should I give you any more when you haven't even used what it... Amen? Amen?
Yes.
Petty cash, we use prepaid debit cards. And one of the things that's required to get the debit card refilled is you have to use it. Don't come and complain that you don't have any money to do something when you haven't used what we've already given you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And yet we think that somehow in the kingdom of God things are different. Use what you have and watch how it increases. When we see the parable of the talents, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any parable. You look at the parable of the talents, who was blessed? Was it the one who sat on his talent or the one who used his talent?
Used it.
So what are you doing with what you've already been given? It's time to stir up the fallow ground. It's time to step out and be what God called us to be. It's time to be the church.
Amen?
Amen? At Walmart.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
At the Golden Eagle?
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
Well, yeah. Everywhere you go, everything you do. At school?
Yes.
You're working on a dairy farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's miserable hours.
I worked this morning.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Do you lay hands on your cows?
Usually just my right hand.
Well, that's enough. And when you do, do you speak over those cows?
Not really.
Well, probably not things we want to hear about, right?
Yeah.
Why not? You know, your words have power.
That's right.
You can actually make those cows more productive by what you speak over them.
Preach it.
Amen.
Amen.
Children's ministry, we lay hands on our children all the time. We speak over our children all the time because we want our children to grow up and be the church. My nephew, we were at the thing yesterday, and I'm just so proud of him. He's mid-20s and just a great man of God, and I'm just so blessed to be around him. But I remember when he was born, we were pastoring over at Mount Union and Mensch, and we didn't have children's ministry because he's basically the only baby that was there. And so my sister would bring him, and if he would cry at all, then she'd get up and leave. And I thought, no, this isn't working because she needs to be under the Word. Her life has been a mess. She needs to be under the Word where God can transform her life. And so when the baby would start to cry, I'd just walk over and pick him up. And when I'd pick him up and start walking and teaching my Bible study, he'd fall asleep. And I mean, that happened every single week because the anointing brings peace. And so I'd walk and preach and carry him. And when he got to be a little older, then of course we didn't have to do those kind of things, but he would be there and play and whatever. When he got to be in elementary school, he was listening to Focus on the Family programs. And his favorite was Adventures in Odyssey.
Yeah.
And I remember one year for Christmas, as a first grader, he gave everybody in the family tapes from Adventures in Odyssey. And I said, thank you. He said, it's really good, Pat. It's really good. you'll like it a lot. And I did. I said, well, you're giving this to everybody. He said, they need to know Jesus.
Amen.
6 years old. He already had it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to wait till you're 84 to get it. And because he had it, he wanted to share it with others. He had been good ground. And he continues to be. This goes on and says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Everybody say diligence.
Yeah.
Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Oh, I had to put that in there. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. And he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, what do we lack? Let me say that again. If God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, what do we lack?
Nothing.
So if we've been given everything that we need and we lack nothing, what excuse do we have?
None.
Ouch. Amen?
True.
That means we can do what he said we should do. When he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, we can?
Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Even to Walmart?
Even to Walmart.
Even to high school?
Right.
Even to the bar? Why not just go to the bar until they kick you out? Because I can tell you right now what happens. You go into the bar, you begin to share the gospel, you gather a crowd. That crowd stops buying drinks and they throw you out. I know, because we've done it before. I have two friends that every Friday night go bar hopping. They said, we did it when we were unbelievers, we're going to do it as believers. They go in, they order a Coke, they sit down, they begin to talk. In the bar, you talk loud, because everybody talks loud. People around them begin to hear the conversation. They're a little bit affected by the things that they've already been participating in. They have no problem joining in the conversation, whether invited or not. And the next thing you know, you've got a crowd. And you're sharing the gospel. And the barkeeper comes over and says, you're going to have to leave. Because nobody's buying drinks. Hey, let's transform the place. More than one bar has been turned into a church.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
What if they get violent? Well, you know, Jesus suffered a little. If we're equipped for every good work, what do we lack? If we're equipped for every good work, what should we do?
Everything.
And if we're equipped to do every good work and we're going out and doing every good work, who's going to get the glory?
Jesus.
So what are we waiting for? Do we need a voice from heaven to speak? Somebody say yes, please. Because we've already got it. He spoke. And he said, go into all the world and preach. He spoke and he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He spoke and said, cast out devils. He spoke and said, I've given you my authority. Go walk in it. Gives me goosebumps just preaching it. We go and do what the Word says to do, and we find out that this Word works. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Well, but I'm not a preacher. How many of you here have a job? Okay. Good. Put your hand way on up there. Let me. How many of you in your job actually talk to other people? How many of you in talking to other people actually get into conversations that touch on God? How many of you take every opportunity to steer it that way when you get a chance? It's preaching.
That's right.
It's It's preached. Because all preaching is declaring.
That's right.
That's all it is. Man, let me tell you what Jesus did for us in church this Sunday. Oh, man, we had church.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
I was driving down the road the other day and God spoke to me. Did you know God still speaks to people today? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, what did he sound like? He sounded like God. What, kind of like James Earl Jones God? What did he say? Well, I was just telling him about the situation around me, and he said, yeah, so? God said that? Yeah, he did. Does he talk to you like that all the time? No, just when I'm dumb. Yeah, people are looking for the real deal. The Bible says that all of creation groans in eager expectation, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Waiting for us to step out of the shadows. Waiting for us to step into the light and be the church.
Amen.
What are we waiting for? Amen?
Amen?
If you're here this morning, you say, okay, I hear it. Now I know I got to do it. I want you to stand up right where you're at. Just stand right up. Say, I've heard it. I know I got to do it. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. So I say it out loud, just like she has. I've heard it.
I've heard it.
I know what I got to do. Now I'm going to go do it.
Now I'm going to go do it.
Amen.
Amen.
So as the dear lady once said, your lips to God's ears.
Yes.
God's heart to your feet. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to go do it. So I invite the worship team to come. We're going to close out. But before we close out, I want each of us to just bow our heads in prayer. Just bow your head and close your eyes. If there's anyone here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as we've shared this, you kind of feel like you're an outsider looking through the window at what's going on. I want to give you the opportunity here this morning to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to give you the opportunity to have your sins forgiven and be part of what we're talking about, this transformation that changes things forever. If that's you here this morning, I want you to step out of where you're at and come right on up front here because I want to pray with you. I want to touch hands with you and let you know you're not alone in this. We're going to do it together. If that's you, just come on out right now. Just move on out. In that case, I have to believe that we're all believers here, that Jesus is Lord. So let's pray together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we don't want to be hard packed ground. We don't want to be the people who don't receive your word. So now we've heard your word, Father, we receive it. Yes, we receive it with gladness, but not so that it will just wither and produce nothing. We want to be good ground, Father. So teach us how to stir up our fallow ground. Teach us how to be good ground. Help us to do the work that it takes to be ready to receive and reproduce. Do it, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.